Wonderful fact out. Now I should be. There you go. I'll be in the amp and I'll be in New King James. So if y'all want to follow along on your phony phones, that's okay. I'm not gonna begrudge any digital access. So we are going to keep on walking, church. We're going to keep on walking. I'm going to pray and we're going to dive right in. So Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for the direction. I thank you, Lord, that you continue, God, to just show us how interested and how deeply, deeply involved you want to be in our lives. How you just want to have that time with us. How you continually want to encourage us to draw closer and closer to you as we continue to draw closer and closer to your son, Father. So Lord, we ask God that you continue to show us in your word, continue to reveal to us our condition so that we can deal with the things that we are not dealing with and be put on the right track, God, to become more like your son. We thank you. We give you all praise, all glory, and we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we have been on this journey. We have been dealing with the sinful issues. We've been dealing with the dead body who's still standing. Well, not standing. He's just like a gooey pile of goo over here. Could you imagine having like an object lesson for this and you actually have like a corpse in the middle of the sanctuary? Like, yeah, he'd smell really bad by this point. Which has always bothered me. We shackle ourselves to this rotting corpse and like the smell just doesn't seem to bother us. We ignore it, you know? We become, what is that? Nose blind, right? Yeah. You just get used to it. But we talked about walking out in love, right? That's what we talked about last week. And today we're going to talk about another aspect as we continue to get and build that separation from our old self. We know that our sin nature resides there with our flesh in this corpse. But Christ not only died to put flesh on the cross, but he opened the door to a new relationship that many believers today don't walk in. Right? It's not Christ. I just want to let you all know, Christ did not just die so that you can continue to sin. Right? That's not why he died. Right? He died so you could do what? Be free of sin. Right? But do you know that he also in this process of receiving him as Lord and Savior over your life, you now have access to the Father 24/7. But we don't take advantage of that. We just go, okay, Lord, clean me up, get me clean so I can go back and do the things that I'm not supposed to do. Remember, we've been talking about this, right? It was even coming through worship. We keep running on empty. We just get enough in our tank just to get us through to the next point where we go, oh, I gotta get cleaned up again, and then, oh, I gotta get cleaned up again, and oh, I gotta get cleaned up again. And we go through this process over and over again. But that's only one part of the transition or transaction that Christ gave us on the cross. He didn't just die so that you could be free from sin. He died so you have access to the King. It is a big deal. But we don't really carry that part too heavily, right? But why not? Did we ever wonder why? I tend to think there's a lot of responsibility in the world. The world is a dark place. The world is dark in the minds of man. The world is continually trying to sabotage and destroy every aspect of any way we could relate to the Father. But also could deal with other issues. All this to create in us a form of relationship that we have with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that is just a casual friendship. Now, Jesus is a friend, right? We know that. But we then translate that relationship over to God, who is the Father, as though he's just a friend. And I want you to all understand. Parents, raise your hands. Your children are not your friends. Stop calling them your friends. They're not. They're your children. You are the parent. Be the parent. It's your job. There comes responsibilities, and I want you to know, I have friends. If my friend came over and started trying to correct me and discipline me, how's that going to work? How's that going to work? Is that going to work out for you? Does it matter? Does it matter Does it matter how big their stick is? It doesn't matter, right? You're like, get out of my house. That's how it goes. That's it. I welcomed you in. I will kick you out. Trying to correct me? No, I don't think so. Right? But a parent has authority. Right? The parent has authority to bring correction. The parent has the capacity for that. And so when we have watered down the relationship with the parental authority over our entire life, spiritual, physical, mental, all things aspects, right, to a casual friendship, well, then what happens to us? I'll give you a clue. It requires handcuffs and a dead guy on the floor. Because you're going to go back to here. Because what's being produced and what's being productive in that relationship is not going to satisfy the issues of life. It's only going to appease them. It's real easy to go to God as a friend and say, hey, buddy, can you help a brother out? Cool, thanks. All right, I'll be back later in 3 months. So what are we going to do to get out of this situation? We are going to start our next step of walking out, and I've been giving you the clues, so if you have been diligent, you should already know where we're going. But if not, then it's fine. I'm here to help. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. But this time I'm going to be reading through the Amplified Version because, man, oh man, let me tell you. I like not having to do more preaching and just let the Word do its job. Amen to that? I love that. I don't like having to add additional things, and when this version of Scripture just seems to do the trick, it makes my job so much easier. Starting at verse 8 and continuing on to verse 14. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as those who are native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the result of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to Him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. For this reason, He says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light. I know that some of us may not have the Amplified Version or access to it, and that's fine. But I want you to take into consideration all the meat that's hidden in that. There's so much that God is trying to show us and train us in and lead us to, and it starts with us walking out this process as a child of light. And I want you to take those words and just ponder them for a minute, because it's real easy to get focused on, I want to walk out in light. Light of who? Light of Christ, right? Okay. Walk out in the light of Christ. That's it. Okay. Great. Cool. Me and Jesus, we got this buddy thing going on. And as I allow Him to continue to work in me, right? It's not my light. It's His light, right? So we've heard this before, preached 1,000 times, less of me, more of Him, right? Right? And as I allow this process to continue to work in me, that little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? It's not really my light, right? Whose light is it? It's His, right? So I'm just allowing that process to continue to work itself out and, you know, still shackled to this corpse. What are you illuminating? Darkness, right? But do you notice where you are this whole time? What effective process is the light of Christ supposed to do? What's it supposed to do? Is it just supposed to cast out the darkness in you? Or is it supposed to go up on a hill and shine so that all may see? This is the equivalent of hiding it under a basket. Is it still working? Is the light of Christ still effectively working out for you? Yes, it is. But it's only benefiting whom? You. That's it. That's it. Walking out as a child of light is a bigger phrase than we can ever imagine. And there's so much more to it. I love this. It says, native born, no longer a citizen of your former place of birth. When you accepted Jesus into your life, you became a citizen of heaven. You're no longer a citizen here. Your passport was revoked. Like that skier who defected to China. Okay? I'm serious. Revoke our passport. Gone. You claim citizenship to a foreign country? You're no longer welcome here. We can't do that anymore. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? Jesus does. He revokes your citizenship to the world when you accept him as Lord and Savior. Or at least that's what's supposed to happen. But a lot of us try to keep dual citizenship, right? Do we? But why do we do that? Because we still find that there's something here that's of value and worth. And if we'd only come and what did I say in the beginning? There's access to the king, right? Access to the throne room. Access to the father. If we understood what was in that place that we have access to, why would we bother having dual citizenship? There is nothing of value in this world compared to the things of God. Do we agree? Nothing. There's absolutely not one thing that you could say, oh, well, but the world has this, fill in the blank. God goes, yeah, that's not even close to the things I have in store for you. There's so much great and wonderful things that I have prepared for you. That's what God says to us. But we don't even get to the front door. What do we have? We have access to the king, right? Okay, that's good. We have provision. How many people like provision? What does that include? Let's just start with the one idol that everybody holds on to at least at one point in their life. Money, right? Do you understand that all the wealth of the nations is stored up in heaven for you? And just waiting for you to just call upon it? There was a guy, I forget who it was. He was a speaker. May have been a pastor, I'm not really sure. And he did this thing and he was talking about how God had showed him in a vision and he took him up into the heavenlies of heavenlies and he showed him and there was this really big building and he thought it was like cause mansions and mansions and mansions. And there was this really, really huge mansion. It was the biggest of all of them. And it was just up on a hill and it was so massive. And he said, well, who's that one for? And he says, oh, that's not for anybody. That's just storing all the wealth that nobody ever claimed. All the wealth that nobody ever claimed, just sitting up there. And it blew my mind. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Even though most people go to God always with their hand out going, their name's Jimmy, right? They're looking for the handouts. But as I said earlier, right, before we got started, what do? We come up. Go to God. Oh, God, I really need your help. Can you help me out? And he goes, okay, well, how much do you need? Oh, I just need this. And he goes, well, I have all this extra, but okay, fine. If that's all you need. And phew, you're like a cloud. There was just a cloud of you, like the cartoon. And you're gone. It's true. We do it all the time. But that's provision. What else do we get? Security. You understand that you are the safest you will ever be in the history of your life, as long as you are connected to the Father, and you are connected to the Son, and you are connected to the Spirit, you will never be any safer. There have been countless stories in this ministry alone of how the hand of God has protected the people in this church from catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe. People should have been dead three times over in this sanctuary because of just how the world has come against through whatever circumstance, but the hand of God has protected them. You don't have access to that if you're outside. You're susceptible to whatever way the wind blows. What else do we get? We have comfort and so many other things. right? Come to me in your time of comfort and need, right? And he will be there to do what? He'll console you. He is everything that we need in every shape and every form. But let's go back to just this very, very first verse. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I want you to realize separation, recognition, understanding of two different realms, two different worlds, children of light. Did you catch the children part? Or did you gloss over that? How many people understand they're a child of God? Really? Do you? We'll find out. We'll do it together. It'll be like Dora. I'll be pointing to it and you'll go, where? I'll go, where is it? And you guys will go, it's there. And I'll go, yeah, you guys, you figured it out. You're so smart. The fruit of the light, or what we should produce as children of light. What does that mean? If we're talking about an actual process, right? I'm allowing Jesus to come into me and I'm allowing him to produce light in me. What is the fruit or the product of that transaction? Right? The fruit, the effect, the result. That's what scripture is telling us. That means this is not going to just be something that you go, oh, okay, this is nice. What is it going to do? When I accept Jesus into my life and I allow his light to start taking care of my dead body over here, right? Is that all it does? That's not what scripture just told me. What's it going to do? I'm going to actually have something produced from it. There is an adverse effect of when I allow the light of Christ to come out and do things objectively, they are going to be tangible, felt, and real. You cannot say, I have the light of Christ in me and continue to live a lifestyle that says it doesn't exist. They're not possible. So what does that mean? What does that mean? If you do not have an effective thing coming out of this relationship that you have with Christ, what does that mean? If you are not producing fruit, what does that mean? That means that there is no light. That means that you are absolutely not living as a child of light. So when I said how many people identify themselves as children of God, if you are not producing fruit, I question your relationship status. Because this is the impact the relationship status produces. You don't get to say whether or not it works. It automatically happens. The light of Christ compels fruit to come out of our lives. Does that make sense? The scripture lie. So therefore it has to be true. That means that if I am going to walk out as a child of light, there's going to be an actual effect and product tangibly that I will see happening in my life. What does that mean? Well, first of all, I will tell you this. As you get further away from that dead body, right? We've already discussed this in the walking out in love. But as we continue to walk out in light, what else is going to happen? That distance is going to create less what? Less temptation, less sin, less mess ups, less mistakes, less things that I do that are offensive, wrong, and having to come back to God and repent for, right? This will be a change of life, of course, right? We change our lives. Do we change them? Do you change your life? Yes, you do. You do. But it's not just you. That's what I was saying. Because I do get a choice. I can choose to stay here or I can choose to walk out. I have to do something. I cannot just go, well, it's Jesus. I'm just waiting for him to do something. He's going, move already. You're just wasting time. Instead of being productive and doing something with the light that he has produced in us, we tend to just stay put. Hear me out. Verse 10. This is the big part. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. That is what it actually is. So when I said you actually do have something to do, That's it. You actually have to live a life that says, I actually agree that the light of Christ is in me and is doing something that is effectuating me to move closer to Him. And in by doing so, there are effects. Those effects are expressed by how I am thankful and grateful and gracious towards all the work that He is doing to do what? To get me further away from the corpse and to make me more effective to do what? Go back to the corpse. To produce fruit that does what? Brings glory to God. That fruit has to be tangible for what reason? Is it for me? Who's it for? It's for you, sir. It's for you. How much more impactful does our life changing make other people want to have their life changed if they can't actually see the effects of the change? That's why the light walking part of our walk is so important, because light is what? Visible. You can't hide it. Challenge, right? Go in a dark room, turn a flashlight on and try to hide it. Good luck. Try to hide the brightest flashlight in the world in the darkest room possible. You can put it in a drawer. It's still going to shine out of the corners of that drawer. As long as that room is dark, you're always going to find that light. Not to mention, come on now, you aren't dumb, right? You have the lit flashlight and you hid it in a dark room. Do you think you forgot where you hid it? No. You're just trying to fool yourself. So what does that mean? Well, you have two choices. You're going to walk in light or you're going to walk in wrong. Remember I told you that door thing? You guys got pay attention. Pay attention. No, it's not always that way. Yes, is that clear? Could you do that? Sure you could. But then literally, you know what walking in darkness looks like? It looks like this, picking up the corpse, putting it back on your flesh and walking out the other side. Can you do that? You technically can, but it's really kind of like bad, like to the point where God says, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, right? Don't do that. That's really how bad that is. But that's not really what believers do. They just stay put. They just don't walk out. It's not I'm walking in darkness. No, you're not walking at all. You're just not moving. So why do we not walk in the light then? We don't want the unspeakable things to be revealed. Is that why? We're afraid somebody's going to see all the garbage that I do in secret. I don't want anything to do with the light because the light's going to start to reveal all the ugly stuff that I do that nobody else knows. You really think that's what he's about? Do you think he's literally just going, CNN, check on this Steve guy. Do you have any idea what he does in secret? CNN, taglines, Steve does XYZ in secret. Now everybody knows. That's the light of Jesus. Do you think that's how it works? Then why are we so afraid to do it? We know it's not true. But where's that coming from? Who's feeding us full of that garbage? Huh? The dead body? The accuser, maybe. He's not the one doing it. I wish he was a dead body. There's two things that are happening. One, our minds are being clouded and darkened in believing that that lie is actually effectuated, right? That the second I stepped and allowed Christ to start working out through light to expose all that filth and darkness here, right? That means it's just broadcasted. That's not true. Just stop hanging around prophets and then it doesn't get broadcasted. I'm joking. That's actually a joke between me and him, because when he sees things that God's revealing, it's like a TV. It's broadcast, right? Yep. It doesn't get broadcasted. If anybody here has ever sat down with a elder or a leader in this church and had to talk about their personal sin life, that conversation stays between you and who? You, him, and the Lord. And the only person who's going to say anything about it is Mostly you. Because the Lord ain't saying nothing about it, and neither are we. We keep our mouths shut. So it's not that. That's not it. But there's this mindset and this darkened understanding that believes this lie constantly is going to be the affection of when I allow Jesus to just start shining his light through all the stuff, that all that exposure is going to come out of it. Do you understand? There's such a thing, and I challenge you, go look it up. It's kind of interesting. Like the brightest light in the world. Has anybody ever seen like the brightest flashlight in the world? Okay. It's so bright that when objects are in front of it, they're bleached out. You literally can't see anything. It's that bright. Take that into consideration. That's how the light of Christ works. It's so bright that you just can't even see that it exists. It's not about revealing it. It's about eviscerating it. It's all consuming. So that's step one of debunking the lie. But the problem that we really have, that I find to be actually the more insidious plot, is that it has more to do with what I've been talking about from the beginning. It has to do with the relationship. If we're so afraid of this, how much more afraid do we think we are in having an actual open relationship with God Almighty where he sees me as his son or daughter? Because let's be clear, some of us can be actually more, I don't know, supernaturally based, and we can have this supernatural interaction with God, and God just blasts us with the light, and it's like, and we're like, yes, awesome, more, yes, okay, whew, that's great, I feel better now, I needed that, now I'm going to just go on my merry way and just go back doing things that I like doing. I'll come back for another blast in 3 months and just like power wash me. Do the fireman hose. Just stand in front of a fireman hose as it blasts you. You like fly like 30 feet back, right? That's how the light of Jesus is, you know? Some of us can handle that experience, but by golly, man, you say, hold on. I just want you to sit here as my son, and I just want to share things with you, and I want to hear from you. I just want to be intimate with you. I really want to know more about you. Just spend some time with me.
Whoa.
Nah, I don't do that, God. That's too close. We need to keep distance. You know what I mean? You be my long distance homie. Give me a fist bump. All right, cool. Fist bump for Jesus. Right? This is how we've been groomed. How? Why? How has this been happening? Well, I'll tell you. Because the enemy waged a full-on assault. He put all of his chips in this basket, and I'm going to tell you right now, he has succeeded so well. Now, I don't like giving credit to the enemy. Not trying to. This isn't about credit. I'm just pointing out the obvious, and you can't argue, success that he's had by putting all his chips in his basket. He lost in the front wars of trying to confound us, right? And trying to get us to be at odds with one another, right? Because that's been happening, but we sit there and go, well, you're racist. No, we're not. Nobody's racist. It's racism died in the 90s. So it's not about that. Okay, well, then I'm going to try and get you to forget about God. I'm going to try to get you to be focused on all these other alternatively attractive, more attractive things than God. God's winning every battle in that realm, right? Because God's just showing up and doing awesome and wonderful things for his people, and you can't argue with it. That he couldn't win in that front. So he said, I'm going to just take all my chips, and I'm going to go, I'll put them right here. And he hit the jackpot. This specific aspect of our walk in our relationship to God as Father is where he waged war. And why? Because he realized that success in this aspect of our relationship, that aspect of our relationship being restored correctly and rightly, means that we won't find our family here in this world anymore, but we'll find our family in heaven. In more ways than one. Do you realize that everybody in this room is more family than anybody's actual physical family? By testimony, I can point to people who have had figures in their lives, whether spouse, whether fathers, whether mothers, who can be honest to goodness testimonies of how the world's relationship sucked. horribly. Would you agree? Right? The most horrible representations of a father figure ever given to you in the world. The people in this room are more akin to your siblings that you've never had, or the parental figures that you've always wanted. And we're still just men and women. How much greater do you think God is than just a little bit of God that we have working out and effectuating towards you here in this room? That's why I can tell you it's sabotage to the highest degree. But how has he been doing it? He darkens the minds and spews lies. We know that. He's done that forever, right? But where has he been focusing it on? He's devaluing the importance of our relationship. He has got us to devalue the importance of the relationship of fathers to sons. That's what he's done, right? And how has he been doing it? He has us focus on ourselves, on sensationalism. What am I getting out of the relationship? What's the benefits to me? Because I've had the garbage already. I've been beaten and had all kinds of things come against me. So I'm done with that. So unless I'm seeing a positive net result, I'm not even interested. Some people have literally they face God and walk away from God because they have such a damaged relationship with their physical father, they can't get past that point with God and his love and care and affection, because they always feel like, where's the other hand? Where's the hand that's going to correct me? Where's the hand that's going to come and smack me in the face? Right? He has one generation after another see children as being challenging, disruptive to their personal goals, interference, all the way to the point where now children have become an inconvenience and their very existence needing to be just done. Yeah. That's not just, I don't know, evil and wicked. No, it's actually a demonic plan that the devil has been pursuing over generations to darken the minds of man, to devalue the point of the existence of children to having the relationship non-existent. There are less and less parents in the world today than there were 20 years ago. Fact. Less people are having kids, less people are procreating. It's reality. And how is it even going further? You would think, well, abortion's really, really bad. It couldn't possibly get worse. You wonder how worse it's got? How about to the point where procreation's not even available because people are so confused that they don't even know what sexuality they are, and they will never be able to procreate because the chemicals they're pumping into them will kill the capacity for them to ever be able to. When they're children. All because the parent who's supposed to be the parent has become a foreigner to the child. And you're not telling me it's not an evil, wicked scheme. And you're not telling me he hasn't had success. Yes, he has. Because he put all his chips on it. He banked on it. It's a very real assault. And if we don't do something to course correct it now, we will see generations go and go and become so far and distant removed that the idea of God, a father figure who loves them unconditionally as children, will be so damaged, it will be almost beyond repair. That's what he was banking on. That's the payment he has put all his chips in to sabotage. Do we see how important it is? So how do we fix it? Can we go back in time? No. I'm telling you today, we can fix it. We absolutely can. How do we fix it? We need to become actual children of God. I had you raise your hand. You all said you were children of God. Then it shouldn't be very hard to do, right? This step should be easy. You got this? 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, scripture? Wait, there's more? Yeah. Imagine that. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. This is just New King James. You don't have to pull out special versions for this one. How do we become a child of God? Let's start with this part. We'll take this bit by bit. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Oh, so you're telling me then I need to just stop hanging out with unbelievers. Is that what it said? What does unequally yoked mean? Stop allowing them to have the leverage over you. You are the higher and more spiritual one. You're supposed to be showing them the way, not the other way around. If you're looking for them to give you spiritual advice, that's unequally yoked. And what communion has light with darkness? Well, we've been talking about light with darkness, but what's communion? Common union. How intimate are you becoming with those who don't know Jesus? Because that will start to have adverse effects on you and your relationship to God. How can I say that? Well, gee, I don't know. What do you think that person who's succumbed to not knowing the Lord is going to have you more focusing on? Your relationship with God or your relationship with them? I'll let that one just stay there for now. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Who's Belial? That's just the devil in the straightest of forms. Are you giving your attention and your affections to the devil, or are you giving them to Christ? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now that one might seem very basic. What does that mean? Where are you allowing the relationships to have the adverse effects? Should we be getting ourselves involved with all things that unbelievers are participating in? No. That's what it's talking about. That means you actually have to have a moral spiritual compass that says, I see what you're up to over there. I will have no part in that. That's all it means. I don't think that's a very hard thing to say. Yeah, I don't care what unbelievers do. They can do whatever they want. But don't ask me to have a part in it. I know who I serve. Amen? That's what we should be doing, right? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And this is the part I want you to pay attention to and highlight. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want you to just highlight that part in your Bible right now. Because you need to know that the word is the truth. The word does not lie. God does not lie. That is his word. And he says what to you? I am a what? Father to you, and you are my son or daughter. Fill in the blank based on your gender preference. Right? Preference. That's a joke. You got it. Good. You figured that one out. Our integration with the world only keeps us tied to the influencers that hate God and his eternal plans for us. So the more we associate with them, guess what? The more you're going to play party to their game. We are not at war with people, but we must recognize the influence some might be under. You have to be a discerner of understanding that the darkened eyes of the world are going to be fixated on the darkened things of the world. I'm not talking about people, but you do have to recognize to whose bread is being buttered by and whom they're being buttered by. That might not make the most sense, but it involves butter and bread, and you all should have gotten the analogy. Okay? To be separate is not to be isolated, but rather set apart. Also known as what? Consecrated. Consecrated. Pastors. We'll have a conversation later. Consecrated. What does consecrate mean? To be set apart. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were going back with the juvenile, you know, deck, you know, to make or declare to be sacred by certain ceremonies or rites, to appropriate to sacred uses, to set apart, dedicate or devote to the service and worship of God. We are dedicated to the worship and service of God. That is who we are. When we see that we are to be set apart or separate, that the Lord is separating us, He's not separating us because, well, I need to keep you over here because, you know, those guys over there, they don't understand you like I do. That's not what it's about. He's setting you apart because what you were made for is precious in His sight. And they will try to do what? They will try to tarnish it. They will try to pollute it and corrupt it. And if you can't see that, then there might be a problem with your position and what you're attached to. Because you're not going to see it while you're still stuck here. Do we see why it's so important to start walking away? Our relationship with God the Father is intact or not intact based on our affections to His Son or to the world or to the dead corpse in the room. What has your affection? Wait, what are you saying? God's love is conditional? I thought you said God's love is unconditional. Well, His love towards all creation is unconditional. But His affections for you as a son and a daughter are conditional. How can I say that? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. That is a conditional statement. Do you not recognize that? We have an obligation to accept the separation from the things of the world to the things of God in order to actually be recognized in the relationship status of son and daughter. You cannot claim to be a son and a daughter while you're still attached to the corpse. You just can't. I'm sorry, you might have gotten your toe stepped on a little bit by that, but I don't want to apologize for what I'm saying because it's true. The reality of it is, that might hurt, but you needed to hear it. You needed to feel it. You needed to know it. Because you can't come here claiming you're a son and a daughter when you're going to go and practice things that the flesh wants you to practice. Because it's not set apart. It's not what you were built for. Does this make sense? The truth of our intentions are revealed by a relationship. Do we actually interact with God as Father? Or do we do the buddy pump? Jesus, you're my homeboy. Love you. The heartburn. Got it. Double heartburn. Jesus, you're my man. Keep going. Do we live according to His hospitality? He provides so much good for us. Remember I told you that giant house on the hill that He has prepared, all the riches are stored there. We don't take His hospitality. Because we figure, oh, well, I have to do it. He's sitting there going, stop. Just let me be your dad. But we can't because we have garbage physical dads that gave us nothing. So we think when we go to daddy over here, well, I'm just going to get more of the same. I'm on my own. You will never, ever receive Him as Father unless you start allowing Him to take care of you. Because you're blindly focused on how you have to figure it out on your own. Do you realize that creates separation? It's creating separation because you're not going to Him. You're trusting in your physical ability, what I can do. It's only what I have. It's only me. It's me and myself. Do we act according to His dictates? Do we actually hear what He's saying in His word and go, I'm going to apply that? Because after all, when He says something in His word, it's not a lie, it's the truth, and if I do it, I'm going to have the result that is promised in the word. Did anybody realize that if you do that, you actually can see a change results in your life? Like even the dumbest of Christians in the world, I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that like people who literally just don't have the ability to comprehend all the messages and all the stuff. But I can read, and when I read, it goes, well, God said if I do this, he does this. If you just lived that lifestyle with God, everything you do according to his word, you will have the other result. Because his word is true, and he will not lie. So he is going to constantly be agreeable to his word. Now, is that a shallow relationship you might have with God? Maybe. But it doesn't change the fact that you recognize that as I hear him and his voice, guess what I'm going to start to do? You are instinctively going to continue to go towards the source of which the voice is coming from. I love people who are like a deep divers in the Bible. They can recite scripture and all that. You know what that tells me? It means they're constantly hearing what God is saying. Now, can that make them weird sometimes? Well, yeah. But it doesn't mean that they're not listening. Do we respond to his kindness and protection correctly? Do we actually allow him to love you? Think about that. God loves me. I know that. Do you let him? Well, he's kind of creepy. He gives those awkward hugs. You ever have that awkward hug? That hug that like, you know, it's like not really like, you don't get the arm around right. And it's kind of like, you know, God gives you, like, I love God hugs. God hugs are awesome. They're so uncomfortable because what he's doing is actually squeezing stuff that I don't want out of me. And he's loving on me with more of him. And I see less of me falling to the side. His God hugs are great, but they're not really comfortable. we also don't have to do this alone. And nor were we intended to. And this is the last scripture for today, guys. Romans. It's going to be in Amplified as well. Romans 8. No, I'm not just making this up. Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity to live according to the impulses of the flesh, the dead guy on the floor, our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. So, remember all those people I was talking to you about who just continually say, I can't? I can't. You don't understand. I can't stop X. I can't do Y. You're right. You actually can't do it. But he can. And the provision to whom he can continually do this through is by his Spirit. How many people actually live according to the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Do you go around just speaking in tongues all the time? That's what it must mean. You're one of those people. You're those Holy Spirit guys. Everywhere you go, you're just like, and that's it. And then you just continue walking. And they just think you have Tourette's. Right? That's what it must mean. Is that really what you have dumbed down the Holy Spirit to be? He's just the vessel of translating a holy language to you? If that's what you think, you have a very grave misunderstanding of his role in this whole faction. See, we have God the Father, who is the Father, and never will be anything other than. But what did we understand through just this little bit of scripture? How do I receive that adoption? Jesus paid the price, but that adoption comes through what? His Spirit. I have to have all three. I can't just leave one out. And if we have been doing this wrong, that might be one of the qualifiers as to why the relationship status has been kind of uneasy. Because we've been allowing ourselves to just be a me and Jesus thing. Because Jesus saves. Well, Jesus does save. That's true. But Jesus is not just going to continually save you from the corpse that you want to be shackled to for the rest of your life. That's not what he died for. He died for you to have a relationship, and that relationship comes as a three-chord bond that is not easily broken. And that three-chord is what? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. If you're not if you are not welcoming to any one part of the three, guess what you have? An easily severed cord. We talk about this in marriage covenants all the time with relationships, right? Our relationship to the Holy Spirit is linked to our relationship to God and to Jesus. The three are one. By living habitually according to the Spirit, we walk in the light of Christ and we honor the Father. So let me recite that again. By living habitually according to the Spirit, we walk in the light of Christ, we honor the Father. Can you walk in the light of Christ without the Spirit? No, you can't. What does that mean? Because you're trying to do it under your way, you're trying to do it under your flesh, and you're going to end up right back here. Think about what I just said. If you're trying to do it on your own, in your flesh, where's your flesh? You left it here. You died to it. So that means you have to put on something new. That new man that you put on has a name. And it's about time we start recognizing who he is and stop trying to do it in our flesh. We can't. Every time we try to do it in our flesh, we're right back at square one again. And we're back into the muddied relationships of Garbageville 101, and we have nothing to benefit from it at the end of the day. It has to do with what leads us or who leads us. Are we being led by the dead guy, or are we being led by the giver of life? Walking in light is actually walking as a son and a daughter, as heirs to the king, as children to the king. We walk in his lineage and in his royalty. If we put away our attachment to our old man and embrace the newfound relationship of our new dad, we can focus our attention and our affection on the one who actually gives life. We start living as actual children of God. Our old man, his deeds, his attachments become further removed and distant. This is the goal. When we understand the purpose behind what Christ died for, the provision of the Holy Spirit, and the relationship to the Father, and we recognize who we are as sons and daughters, what do you think this corpse becomes? Do you think he has any relative pull or gain or purpose anymore? No. You don't need it. You don't want it. You won't have attachment to it. And you walk finally in really, for probably the first time in your life, the freedom that comes with being a son or a daughter to the king. How many sons and daughters? It changes your perspective a bit, doesn't it? But that's okay. Because it doesn't mean that you're not still a son or a daughter. Because in his eyes, you always were and you always are. It's actually walking in the fullness of knowing that I really am one. And the only cost it makes, the only cost I have to pay is what? What's the price? Is it? Is it? Yeah, you guys are getting to catching pictures of all the stuff that I'm putting together, but in reality, it really is just allowing him to be your father. We actually do have the control here. But if we don't let him in, we only get what we have. But if we let him be dad, if we actually allow him to be dad, we actually start to see a true dynamic change in our life. We'll start to see the major shift in direction, because guess where we start going to more and more? We start going to the Father. Amen? Tune in next week where we kill it for once and for all. Death blow. It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you. We're going to finish them off. We're going to finish them off. Amen? Amen. So Father, I thank you again. I know that your word can continue to just reveal and show us more and more of our need for you. Your word constantly brings us and draws us closer to you. Each and every word on the page is directed to bring our attention to you. And as we continue to focus on you, the provision that we have through your Son, the relationship we have through your Spirit, that God, we will connect with you on deeper and more intimate levels, and we will start to have real conversations with you. We won't shorthand you in them any longer. We'll sit and we'll spend the time that's required for us to really see the awesome things you want to provide for us, God. We will come with needs, and God, we will wait for you to give us even more than what we asked for and requested, God. We will start to truly comprehend and understand what a real father is supposed to be, and cast away any ideas or imaginations of what they're supposed to be. Forgetting what the world's examples are, forgetting what the models that came before are, forgetting every failure and mistake that we might have made with our own children, and recognize that you are perfect in every possible way, and that your love and your affection towards us, God, can fully right this ship and start to turn this world to you, to recognize you as Abba Father. So God, I pray, Lord, that as we receive more of you, we continue to allow your light to shine and blow out the darkness of this world. The change of life through Christ leads people to fully embrace you as Father, as King, and as Lord. We thank you, God. We love you. And we surrender it all to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.